Much of the country, from the deep south to the northeast, is trying to recover from a raging Hurricane Ida. More than 60 people are dead across 8 states, at least 48 in the northeast, which saw record rainfall. Some were swept away in flooded cars, others drowned in basement apartments in New York. We're going to go to several spots, beginning with New York, and Jen Chung is executive editor at Gothamist. Jen, the people trapped in their basement apartments, I mean, this is heartbreaking. Is this an economic reality of life in New York that so many people have to live in these spaces?
Absolutely. You know, New York is one of the most expensive housing markets in the world. And for many people, the most vulnerable, immigrants, people who are working, you know, gig jobs, basement apartments are sometimes the only places they can live. And many of the landlords of these apartments are just middle-class homeowners, many immigrants themselves, who want to give these people who are looking for opportunity a chance too. So it is a very, at this point, unregulated housing stock. And this morning, the mayor was talking about new initiatives to try to formalize, you know, evacuation procedures in order to, you know, make sure that people who live in basement dwellings aren't forgotten about.
Now, I don't know if these tenants knew about any emergency warnings. I understand there's a system for New Yorkers to try to provide some kind of, you know, this is coming. Is this the kind of warning that most or all New Yorkers really pay attention to?
So, you know, this is the real issue that a lot of people are asking the mayor and governor about. Was the city and state adequately warning residents about this threat of Ida? And there are a couple things. You know, New Yorkers hear about flash flood warnings a lot, but they don't really know what that means, and it could only happen in a certain specific neighborhood. Ida was pretty unusual because it was a storm not coming from the coast. I think a lot of people in their heads might think of a storm like Superstorm Sandy coming from the ocean as being more impactful versus something coming across the country. But Ida hit a weather front, which then pushed more cold air up in the atmosphere, and then all this moisture came down. And the other big issue with Ida is that so much rain came in like 1 hour or 2 hours, making it really sudden for people to react. And, you know.
Sorry, and finally, just very quickly, can I ask you briefly about the subway system? How did it fare? What happens now?
You know, on a good day, the MTA is pumping out 13 million gallons of water and when it's dry. So for it to be hit with this like historic rainfall, it had to suspend service pretty much across the city and then spend the next day pumping out, inspecting all the tracks, making sure the electricity was working. And, you know, yesterday morning, there were conductors waiting for trains to get out of those train yards because some of those train yards are in Queens, you know, in these like areas that can get flooded. And the MTA is currently trying to continue its resiliency work from Sandy.
Okay, thank you. That is Jen Chung, executive editor at Gothamist. Tanya?
Let's bring in Kenneth Burns. He's South Jersey reporter for WHYY. And Ken, there were a couple of tornadoes that were brought on by this storm. Tell us about those and the damage they've caused.
Tanya, there were actually 7 tornadoes, four in Pennsylvania, 2 in New Jersey. And then there was one that started in New Jersey and then lifted in Pennsylvania when it was finally done. The 2 biggest ones, one in South Jersey. This is Mocha Hill, New Jersey. No fatalities with that one, but 2 people were injured. But this was a pretty strong twister. Estimated peak winds about 150 miles per hour. The tornado was on the ground for about 20 minutes for a nearly 13-mile path. A lot of homes were destroyed, and a couple of farms were flattened as well. And then on the Pennsylvania side, this tornado actually hit north of Center City, Philadelphia, in Montgomery County. It was on the ground for about 15 minutes. The peak winds were about 130 miles per hour. One person was killed during that particular tornado, and there was at least a few minor injuries. Overall, 4 storm-related deaths in the Pennsylvania suburbs.
Mm. And then there's the flooding. In Philly, the Schuylkill River flooded its banks, cresting at more than 16 feet. What kind of flood damage are you seeing there?
Right now, And let me back up a second, because there's another expressway that was still flooded out. This is called the Vine Street Expressway. And for those not familiar with Philadelphia, this is the highway that connects I-95 with the Schuylkill Expressway, which runs along the Schuylkill River. So those highways are flooded. Parts of the Vine Street heading towards 95 have reopened, but the majority of the road is still closed. The Schuylkill River peaked late yesterday morning or late Thursday morning. It's now below flood stage, and it's a case of pumping the water out and then the water returning to its normal flow on its own.
The video of those highways that are flooded, it's just astounding. I mean, some parts of them look like rivers.
Exactly, and in all of my years of even coming to the Philly area, even before I moved here, I've never seen a highway flooded out like that, especially one in the middle of what is essentially a downtown area.
Yeah, so you're saying that that many of them are now reopening today, but there's probably still lots of cleanup underway in the days and weeks to come.
Lots of cleanup. You still have at least a dozen roads closed, particularly in Pennsylvania. But for right now, one of the major highways in Philadelphia is still being pumped out.
That's WHYY reporter Kenneth Burns. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.
All right, and let's go to New Orleans, where Tegan Wendland is with member station WWNO. In New Orleans, Hurricane Ida made landfall Sunday as one of the most powerful Category 4 storms. The president is visiting the region today. And Tegan, just tell us, what does your neighborhood look like right now?
Yeah, so I'm in the 7th Ward, which is right next to the Treme, and we're still, you know, without power here. More than 700,000 people, that's 60% of the city, are without, well, that's for the entire region, but 60% of the city is without power. So, you know, the city's like really hobbled at a time that, you know, it's the hottest time of the year. And many of the folks who stayed instead of evacuating are people who couldn't afford to evacuate. So there's, you know, a lot of elderly and infirm people in my neighborhood who are really struggling to keep cool right now. One of my neighbors is just wetting down rags and laying them on his disabled father in order to keep him cool. So it's pretty devastating.
Wow. And how about water supply, gasoline?
That's really the big issue right now. It's a resource issue. There's long lines at the gas stations. You know, we have some damaged refineries here. So there's tons of gas nearby, but the problem is getting it to New Orleans because the systems are so hobbled. So, and then the gas stations don't have power, so they're running off of generators. So there's only, you know, a few gas stations that are set up with generators, and there's long lines. Some folks told me they were waiting for upwards of 7 hours to fill up their gas cans, and then they're taking those cans back to power generators that are in some cases keeping, you know, many neighbors cool who have pooled in together and air-conditioned one room in order to keep their most vulnerable, you know, family members and neighbors cool.
Now, you went this week to a place called La Place and found people trapped in their homes. Tell me what you saw.
Yeah, it's pronounced La Place. It's just upriver of New Orleans. Yep, it's along the Mississippi River, kind of a lower-income working class area. A lot of the folks there work at local refineries, and we met with some folks. You know, that was a place New Orleans didn't have so much devastating structural damage, but the places where the eye of the storm really passed over did. And so La Place was just decimated. There are just trees, you know, ripped up at the roots and houses that have lost their roofs or been completely destroyed, a lot of trailer homes. And we talked with an old man named Melvin Caesar, who's 82 years old, and he was stuck in his house. He couldn't afford to evacuate, like I've heard over and over and over again here. And the storm passed over, ripped his roof off. No one found him for 2 days. And he was in there in the heat, and he uses a walker to get around. And he said, we talked to him just 2 days ago, and he said nobody had come by with tarps, food, water. Oh, they had nothing.
Tegan Wendland is a reporter for WWNO in New Orleans. Tegan, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And elsewhere on the show, we're taking a closer look at climate change and how we respond to more unpredictable weather. You can find it at hereandnow.org.